Psalms chapter 46. I'm going to read all 11 verses tonight. The Bible said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall be made glad, the city of God shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, you can be seated tonight. Lord, would you please help us now for just a little while? We certainly need you. Lord, we do not want to do anything on our own tonight. And Lord, we just pray that you would preach us as a dying man to dying people tonight. As Lord, we don't know what tonight faces or what tomorrow holds. But Lord, we know that you've got us both times, and we thank you for that. Lord, I'm glad tonight I can say it's well with my soul that, Lord, I knew if I lay down now and go to sleep that I won't have to worry about eternity, for it's in you tonight. And Lord, we just ask and pray that you'd help somebody that might have a need, maybe need to get saved, but maybe somebody here tonight that, Lord, that just needs some encouragement. Maybe they need some direction, or maybe they need exhortation. And Lord, maybe they just need you to speak to their heart. I pray you'd do that. Help us while we preach now, and we'll give you the glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As the psalmist wrote this passage of Scripture and wrote this psalm, and by the way, the Psalms is a song book, and so this is a song that is being sung. But if you look at the very, I was going to say this till the end, but if you'll look at the very first part, the Bible said, God is our refuge. If you'll look in the middle in verse 7, it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. If you look at the very end, it says in verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Three times we find at least in that passage of Scripture that the Bible tells us that God is our refuge. Tonight I want to preach having a thought of when trouble comes. Ain't you glad tonight you got a refuge when trouble comes tonight? I'm getting ahead of myself tonight, but I want you to understand and know that trouble does not avoid us simply because we're saved tonight. As a matter of fact, sometimes I think that might make it worse. Amen. Because we're saved tonight. Job said in Job 14:1, man is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He said the man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Peter said it like this. He said, beloved, he said, I think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. As children of God, sometimes we think that it is strange that trouble finds us or that we find trouble. I believe here in chapter 46 tonight, I believe that the psalmist teaches us what to do and how to deal when trouble comes. Can I say tonight quickly, I really like how Job dealt. I hope I don't ever have to face trouble as Job faced trouble. I don't want to, as I was looking over this late this afternoon, I was getting ready for tonight and praying. I said, Lord, I sure don't want to face no trouble by morning time. Now these messages, they kind of scare me a little bit from time to time, but he assured me
I listen out of His Word and in my heart. Even if we face trouble, He'll be there. Amen. And thank God for that tonight. But I want to look at just about five or six things quickly tonight, if we could, out of this Scripture that might help us when trouble comes. Number one, when trouble comes, I believe that we need to remember God. Look in verses 1-3. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. You say, why would I remember God? Although this all goes on, I said that He is our refuge that we can run to. Hey, He's a place that we can run to tonight. Listen, ain't you thankful tonight, friend, that we ain't like the world? I'm not wringing my hands. I'm not worried. Hey, listen, when I need to go to somebody and find some help, I'm glad that there's a throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Listen, the Bible said in Proverbs 18 that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto it. And he said, hey, ain't you glad tonight, church, that when bad times come and trouble comes, that me and you can still clap our hands and look to heaven and shout a little while and say, I know that He's got it under control tonight. Hey, I'm glad that refuge means a shelter from danger or distress. Listen tonight, when we get refuge in that from the storm, when we get shelter from the storm, the storm may not quit. It may not have stopped. But ain't you glad tonight that we're hid in Him and the blood of His dear Son tonight that takes care of us in the midst of our trouble tonight. Amen. Amen. There's a song that says that we ought to learn to smile through all our tears. That's hard to do, ain't it, sometimes? That's hard to do. That's hard to do when trouble falls upon us and comes. Listen, if I could smile through all my tears and my fears, I would. But friend, I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad there's somebody that I can run to and find some help. He said He's our refuge that hides us, but then He is a present help for us. Ain't you glad tonight it said He's a present help? It's not a help, but a present help. There's a difference between somebody being a help and a present help. That means that He's there now. Psalms 119, David said, Thou art near, O Lord. I'm glad tonight that when I call upon Him, that He is near unto us. These young people was going over their songs tonight, and the first one we sung was, I can call Jesus anytime. Ain't you glad tonight that at any point in time, in the middle of the night, or in the middle of the day, whether it's storming, or the sun shining, we can get in touch with God, and God is ever present, and that to help us tonight. Psalms 34 said, The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Hey, I'm glad that He's ever present tonight. He's always with us. Jesus promised in John 14 the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides inside of us. And He said in John 14, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'll come unto you. He's ever present. Listen, He's ever listening. He's ever hearkening. And that to us tonight. Listen, He's a present help when we need Him. I'm glad tonight for that. And then the power that He has. Look in verses 2 and 3. He says He's a refuge and a strength. And so He strengthens us and He's a present help. But therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling, though all these things come against us, God is more powerful than those things.
though the world shakes and at least in the thunder cracks and the lightning flashes, He's greater than these things tonight. He's greater than them. I'm not telling y'all that I ain't never preached before and that y'all don't know. But listen, we need to be reminded that He's ever watching us. If His eyes upon the sparrow and He sees the sparrow that falls out of the sky, imagine how much He watches us. We were in the grocery store, coming out of the grocery store the other day, and there was a little old honeybee flew in one of our bangs. And my wife hates bees, bless her heart. I don't care too much for bees, but she really hates them more than I do. And I tried to get that little old honeybee out of there, and it just struggling to fly. I don't know what its problem was, but it landed there on the ground, and it wouldn't fly away. And I said, well, you know, the Bible said that the Lord's eyes is up on the honeybee. And my wife said, no, now you got a new version there. That ain't hardly what it says. But can I tell you tonight, on the authority of God's Word, I have no doubt, as much as, by the way, I do believe the King James Bible. Let me put that plug in there. But tonight, let me say that I believe God did see that little honeybee. And as much as He sees that and He sees that sparrow, He said, are you not much more than they are tonight? He's watching you. And He's got great power. How much confidence me and you should have in the Heavenly Father and His beloved Son tonight of the power that He has to be able to turn the world upside down for me and you tonight. Mark chapter 4, as those disciples were on that ship, and boy, the wind had arose, and and it was blowing, and it was blowing into the ship. And I believe at one point it said where it was now full. I believe my Bible, when it said it's full, it's full. And you know what? The little boat was still floating, though it was full. I believe the boat was full. And they went back there, and the Bible said that him being asleep on a pillow, that they woke him up, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And in Mark chapter 4, the Bible said, He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Only He's able to do that. Only He, when our world is turned upside down and everything is against us, these disciples could not fix where they were. They could not stop the storm. But they could run to one who had all power and that to do that tonight. And so that brings me to number two. Not only do we need to remember God, but then I believe we need to run to Him. It said there is a river in verses 4 and 5, the streams whereof shall make glad the city, of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. And boy, here again we find when it talks about being right early, He is ever present. He ever shows up. And as I talk about running to Him, and it talks about the river and the streams that come through the city of God. And boy, talking about the blessings of God and how He blessed the city of God. It's Him that we need to run to and that to find our gladness. Because notice what it said right here as it talks about this. It talks about that those rivers and the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You know, only the Lord, when we run to Him and come to Him, only those that went to the city of God could find the blessings that was in the city of God. And only when you run to Him, how can you find the gladness that only He can give tonight. How many times have we tried to handle things on our own and could not handle it? And it'll rob us of our gladness, of our joy, and our happiness. And Lord, I thank You tonight. I do. Mercy, I do. I'm glad He's helping me. Now, you may not be getting anything out of it. He's helping me. Psalms chapter 30 said, hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. Boy, ain't you glad He's your helper tonight? David said, be my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. My sorrow has been taken care of. And He's girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Well, when we run to Him, He can give us gladness. Only He can give us. You reckon them boys was glad when the Lord stepped out on the edge of that boat and said, peace be still, and the wind laid down? I bet they're glad. I'd have been glad.
Man, I'm telling you, I've been in some places that I wasn't glad to be in, but boy, when I got out of them, I was glad to get out of them. Amen. I mean, I was happy to get out of them. And listen, hey, something when God comes by and makes Himself real and talks to us. You know, David, and y'all know this verse, Psalm 17:3, where David said, "Thou'st visited me in the night." Hey, listen, how many times has He come by and we just needed to talk to Him and we needed Him to show up? And He did. And did that not bring gladness to our heart to know that the Heavenly Father took notice of us? I preached on that not too long ago, that He takes notice of us. Listen, that in the midst of our trials and our troubles, that we remember God and we run to Him, because only there in Him can we find gladness in Him tonight. I'm glad the Lord can make glad. You know, God can make glad the sinner when they get saved. You know, only God can change a heart and make happiness. But, well, I'm telling you, for the child of God, when gladness, when happiness has been robbed because of the trouble that has come, only He can make glad tonight. I always think about Job when I think about trouble. And I'll be honest with you, Job went through a hard, hard time. Man lost everything that he had. And lost his children. Might as well just said he lost his wife. Because she said, she come out to her and said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Won't you just curse God and die?" Is that not what the devil wanted Job to do? All the devil wanted Job to do was just curse God. You know, ain't that what God told Satan over there? Let me go back and look at that. Is that not what He said in Job chapter 2? He said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity." That's what God said. God said He holds fast His integrity, "although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." God looked at Satan and said, he's retained his integrity. Job's still serving me just like I told you he would tonight. Boy, I'm telling you, when trouble comes, how many of us are still faithful tonight? I look around the house, I know folk going on vacation and all that mess and all these things, they'll all shake out in the wash. But I'm telling you tonight, there's some folk not holding their integrity tonight. There's some folk I don't trust tonight. They tell me they're saved. They tell me they love God. But if they won't die approach God's house for 3 or 4 weeks at a time, I can tell you there's something wrong tonight. Amen. Hey, when Job lost all he had and his children, he shaved his head, put on sackcloth and ashes and worshiped God tonight. I get a little frustrated with people from time to time, because they tell me they love God, but in their actions, I kind of wonder and scratch my head. Just saying tonight. But then, in verses 6 through 8, we find after we run to God, then we need to review what God's done. Notice what it said: "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth." Well, you know what men you need to do when trouble comes? We need to review what the Lord has done. Review means to go back over. That means to look back over. Y'all, listen, I've told y'all this before, and I try to live by this in my own life. I understand we can't live in the past, and I understand that the Bible said no man having put his hand to the plow looking back his foot for the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you right now that there's times that me and you need to look back and see what God has done. You need to see what God has done for others. Amen. You need to look around and see what God is doing for others right now and say, "Hey, that's the God I serve." Take your Bible and go to the book of Job, chapter 23, I believe it is. I believe that's what Job was trying to do. I believe it's Job 23. And there it is. Now, I've got a message. I preach out of this a lot, especially in revival time. If God always gives us opportunity. I like this. Boy, after God showed this to me in the book of Job,
chapter 23. I mean, they just some messages that I preach. And don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. It's going to sound bad on mine and Brother Marvin's part. Brother Marvin may not be like me. I don't know. He may remember everything he's ever preached. I don't know. I don't remember everything I preach. You preach a minimum of three times a week. And sometimes, you know, when we were going to the nursing home, I was preaching four times a week. And this past week, I taught the book and preached, I know, five or six times this past week. And it's a little hard for me to keep up with some things. Amen. But you know, there's just some that stick with you. Hey, some passages of Scripture that sticks with you better than others. I think God does that on purpose so that we can be reminded of what God will do. Look at Job chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seed. I would order my cause before him. I will fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words of which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Job's wanting to find God. Can't find God. He said, if I could find God, I'd tell him all about it. Now, basically, that's just a short run of what Job's saying right there. If I could find God, I'd plead my cause. Verse 6, he said, well, he'd plead against me with his great power. No, but he would put strength in me. Would God be against me if he talked to me? No, he wouldn't be against me. If he judged me, would he be? No, he wouldn't be against me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Job said, forward and backward, I can't find him. He says, on the left, where he doth work. Now that's what I preach out of. On the left where he doth work. Notice what Job says. But I cannot behold him. I believe Job could see God working on the left hand side, but he couldn't find him. I preach a message out of that sometimes when God's doing something for somebody else, but he just ain't doing it for you. Job could see God working, but he just couldn't find him himself. He said, he hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see. Now here's the great thing, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew he was in a trial, didn't he? Job could see God working off in the distance. Well, how many times have we seen God working off in the distance when we're in the midst of trouble and he's helping somebody else or doing something for somebody else, and we sit down and we wonder, God, why won't you help me? So we look and we do see him work for others. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight, church. If he'll do it for others, he'll do it for you too. I think we need to look back over our time and see what God has done for us. How he's worked for you in the midst of trouble. Every one of us in here tonight, I would dare say at times, have faced trouble and got to see God move and work. Psalms 126 talks about God turning the captivity of Zion. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. You know what? I can say the Lord's done great things for you, because a lot of things I've watched him do it over the years. You know, in 20 years, I've been here almost 20 years, and you realize that in 20 years I've got to watch God move in folks' lives and move and do things for everybody else. But in 20 years, and more than 20 years, I've seen God move for me and see God move for my wife. I've watched Him do it. It may not seem like God's going to. It may not seem like God is going to move, but He'll do it. As I looked over this, I thought about David. In 2 Samuel, take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Samuel tonight. Can I go ahead and say it? By the way, that comes after 1 Samuel. If y'all wasn't here this morning, you won't understand that. That's kind of the inside joke. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Look in verse 13. I believe that's where we need to be. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 13. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was in the hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Now I want you to get an idea of what's going on right here. David is in the cave of Adullam. He's held up. He can't go and do as he would want to do. He's having to fight. If you go back, you'll find that he's fought. But I want you to look in verse 15. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And David said, "Boy, I just wish that," and y'all know I've preached out that before too, but he said, "I just wish I could go drink some water from the well of Bethlehem." That's the city of David. That's where David was born at and raised at. That's where David raised his sheep at of his daddy's Jesse. And no doubt that he spent time in town there, and he was remembering, as he said in the cave of Adullam, he was remembering a better time in his life. Have you ever been in trouble to where you could just look back and remember when things were better? I'm at that age that I can do that. I can remember when things were better spiritually. I can remember when things were just better. And boy, I tell you what, my mind gets to racing and wandering back. And David, he was doing the same. I don't think David was thirsty. I think David wanted to go back to the days of sitting by the well of Bethlehem when it was a better time and trouble had not found him. How many of us have been there when we did not want to be where we were, but we remembered back to a better time? Let me ask you tonight, if there was not a better time, do you not think that the Lord will do that again for you if we remain faithful? There was a day that David got to go drink. As a matter of fact, his men went out. You know what the Bible says? And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it unto David. Now, you go and read, David wouldn't drink it. Because he said, nevertheless, he would not drink it there, but poured it down upon the ground and said, "Be far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives, therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." They loved David. You know, David had men that loved him so much that they broke through the wall of the Philistines of the enemy and went and drawed him water out of the well of Bethlehem and brought it to him. That's how much they loved David. That ought to have excited David that he had men that would love him that much. That was willing to fight for him. But they were willing to go fight just to get him a drink of water out of the well of Bethlehem. Don't you think God would be willing to fight for us that much? Don't you think God the Father is a valiant man tonight that He's able to fight for us and win against the enemy? Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that tonight. Sometimes we look back and we wonder how we got to where we are. Sometimes it's our fault. You have to understand that and admit that. Sometimes where we are is our fault. But even if it is, God's awful good to us and takes care of us. Sometimes those things just happen. Sometimes it is the battle that puts us there, but He's always faithful to see us through. Look what verse 10 of the text scripture says. Boy, He said, "Be still and know that I am God." You know what, men, you need to do sometimes in the midst of trouble is just rest in the Lord. When trouble comes, just rest. Well, that's awful hard to do, ain't it? You know, child of God, we can rest. We've got rest. You know, He told lost people, He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Well, I'm glad now if you're lost, if you're unsaved. I look across the house and say most people are probably saved now. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you ain't, you can get saved. But I know this, that for the child of God, that me and you can rest in Him. You know what rest means? It means a cessation. If you cease from doing something, that's what cessation means, is to cease of motion or action of any kind, or to have peace. So, how do you rest in trouble? Well, if He's a present help, He's ever there, and He takes care of us, and we're looking to Him, and we're expecting Him to handle it tonight, that's how we rest. We just let Him handle it. You know what? I've been on both sides of that, Brother Jeff. I mean, in all honesty, there had been times that I had put, you know, when He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Listen, I have done that. I have literally done that. And He has literally took care of it. And I'm not worried with it. And then there's been other times that I have tried my best to cast my care upon Him, and I still held on to it. And I wanted to care for it and wear my hands out. But I'm glad tonight that we can rest in the Lord. You back up to Psalms chapter 37. Go back there with me just a little bit. Back up. I want you to see this. Psalms chapter 37. You know, Psalms 37 starts out with fret not. That's pretty good, ain't it? Don't worry, in other words. You know, fret means a wire. If you fret over something, it wires away at you. It wires you out. That's what fretting means. You're worrying it to death, or it's worrying you to death. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Now pay attention. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The very first thing, or the very last thing He said to do was to rest. You know, if you'll trust in the Lord, delight your way in the Lord, and commit your way unto the Lord, you can rest in the Lord. I believe they're put in that order for a reason. I don't think you can rest till you have trusted, delighted in Him, and committed your way to Him. I don't think you can rest in Him. Rest. Rest. How many of us has ever been tired and was just come in with the idea of just laying down to rest? And then here come a kid. Or here come your wife or your husband. Here come the telephone ringing and making racket. You can't rest. But boy, when you can get alone and just get in a place and be still. You know, what did He say in the text verse? He said, be still. He said, be still and know that I am God. Just got to be still. Quit moving. Quit working at it. Quit trying it. Just be still. Children of God was standing before the Red Sea. And what was out there? What was out there? You had the Egyptian army behind you, and you had the Red Sea in front of you. And what did God say? Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They could not figure out how to cross, but God took care of it tonight. I thought about in Paul's storm in Acts 27. In the middle of that thing, he comes to them and said, sirs, be of good cheer. For 14 days and night, they've not seen the sun or the moon and the stars. They've not ate. They have fasted for 14 days on a ship that was caught in the Euryalochthon, and it was tossed to and fro. I'd say they're in trouble, wouldn't you? And the Apostle Paul stands out there and says, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Tell you now, when we trust in Him, we can rest in Him. Look in verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. That ought to give you something to rejoice in tonight. Look in 2 Chronicles. We're going to close. Talking about rejoicing because the Lord is with us. 2 Chronicles 20, some of my most favorite scripture out of the Old Testament is this chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we know there's three different companies against Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah. Verse 12, they're praying. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that is against us, that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Boy, you get to look into heaven, you can find some help. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Boy, I bet they shouted there. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Oh, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You know what they done when they got the Word of God? Nobody's going to get some help. They worshiped, didn't they? They worshiped. Where'd you find Job? Where'd you find Job when he lost everything that he had? He was worshiping. Where'd you find David at when they lost that baby? He was worshiping. Where did you find David at when he was on the run from Absalom and he gets a little up there on the top of the hill of Mount Olivet? What was he doing? The Bible said he was worshiping. And that the Lord. You know what will help you to rejoice? Worship. I was looking in verse 19. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They worshiped and then they rejoiced, didn't they? Let me ask you something. Was the trouble still coming? Yes. The trouble was still coming. Had the enemy been defeated? No. The enemy had not been defeated. But what were they doing? They were believing God. They had sought God. They had found God. God talked to them. He was a present help. He came to where they were. He strengthened them. He gave them the help they needed. And now they're rejoicing in the Lord. Psalm chapter 5. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Let me go on and read you what I didn't read a few minutes ago. 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Psalms chapter 46 is just telling us what to do in the midst of trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. We can rejoice. We can shout that out tonight, church. We can shout that out. Matter of fact, we probably should tonight. The God of Jacob is our refuge. If you don't get anything out of this message tonight, three times he said, the God of Jacob is our refuge. He wants you to know that you can run to Him tonight. Let's bow our heads tonight.